The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Kenny Florian.
Oh, my God!
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Oh, smile, Ken Flo. Happy New Year, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for being here. Episode 137 of the Anik and Florian Podcast. Flo going gun show if you're watching the video today. It is Monday, January 1st, 2018. Kenny begged to work the holiday. We are in the people-pleasing business, and as such, we are here. Kid, you look great as always, man.
You know why? Because I didn't do jack schmoo last night. I didn't do anything. I had nothing interesting to talk about. I basically was there with my wife, my pregnant wife, and we had a root beer float to celebrate the new year, and that's it.
Well, I know you're not a big drinker to begin with, so I would imagine it's not like mass consumption when your wife's pregnant, right? Like all of a sudden you're going to start drinking a whole lot more. Well, needless to say, I was in bed at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. I flew the red eye after the pay-per-view, and it's probably the last time I'm going to do that, right? Because Cyborg Home goes the distance, and we're just firing it out of there. Ride wasn't there, and but we were able to make the red eye, thankfully. So right back at it today, a little college football today. We're going head-to-head with the college football playoffs. But, dude, mixed martial arts fan's going to turn out for the 100% podcast on New Year's Day. So you won the main event challenge. So quickly before we get into the UFC 219 stuff and talk to UFC featherweight champion Max Holloway, congrats on winning the main event challenge. Valiant comeback, of course, out of Team Anik, my squad of handicappers and listeners. In the end, though, and you guys know this if you've been following this show, Florian is a sharp mixed martial arts better. I wish he actually played with more money in his personal life. He is wont to do that. So we'll take our loss and move. I do have to pay off this bet, though, Flo. So
yeah, well, we got to figure it out because I would love to see it in person. So you know, when the UFC maybe comes to LA, or maybe we find a way to do it when we meet up. Because I want to see. I want to make the damn sandwich. I want to make the Vegemite myself, and then watch you puke in front of me.
So the Australians tell me that if you toast it and go butter first and then the Vegemite on the sandwich, it's easier on the taste.
Tell you what I'll do. I'll do that for you. But I'm still. But I will. I'll let you do that. But I'm gonna put the Vegemite on there.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Right. I allow you to do that. We'll do it. I think I'm going to Perth, but I'm gonna come to LA a little bit early. And although, you know, you might be in crunch time there with that whole pregnancy thing. We will figure it out.
Right.
No tattoo bet involved here. I'm going to eat a Vegemite sandwich to pay off the bet. We got a lot to get to, though. As usual, the UFC closing out its calendar year in Las Vegas, Nevada with a big year-end pay-per-view. And we're going to recap it not now, but right now. Headlines. Let's go.
Headlines.
It's time for headlines.
I have some very urgent and important breaking news.
Headlines.
On the John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
All right, UFC 219, Cyborg versus Holm. If you watch the pay-per-view until the end, though, you know I am not leading with the main event on these airwaves. The uncrowned king, Ken Flo, Khabib Nurmagomedov, 25-0, 24 rounds in the UFC, 24-0 in those, hasn't lost a round in training. And I think sometimes when guys don't compete as often as others, I tend to lose sight of maybe how dominant and how great they are. You and I called Khabib Nurmagomedov's UFC debut in January of 2012. I hadn't called one of his fights until 2013. So shame on me for maybe forgetting just how dominant this guy is. But I even think he took it to a whole new level on Saturday night. I sit here Monday morning, maybe reactionary, but I think he is the most dominant force in the game right now heading into 2018.
25 fights in mixed martial arts and to be undefeated is just, it's mind-boggling. It's unbelievable. And then when you consider all the guys that he's gone against and the style that he employs against these people, it's amazing to watch. And this is a guy that continues to get better. The way that he went and took away the space from Edson Barboza, just stayed right in his face, was the perfect game plan against a guy who is an extremely creative, fast, and explosive striker. So when you do that, he never allowed Edson Barboza to get in the game. He stayed right on him, and he took him down, and he just pummeled him, man. He pummeled him. He took his lunch money. It looked like an attack. It didn't look like a fight. It looked like Khabib Nurmagomedov was attacking Edson Barboza for 15 minutes. I was blown away. And to Edson Barboza's credit, man, I'm telling you, maybe like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Edson Barboza would have quit. This Edson Barboza was very motivated to get that title shot and to beat this insane human being in Khabib Nurmagomedov. Wasn't able to do it. Khabib, just too much, man. Too much pressure. And boy, the way that he hits you on the ground with his ground and pound, he gets right position and pummels you. It was scary to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, to see it in person, and again, for me, for the first time in the span of like a college education, right, 4+ years, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I could barely call the fight. And to your point on Edson Barboza, what a performance in defeat, right? And maybe performance is the wrong word, just effort. And we were told mentally, physically, he was just in such a good place going in. And you can see that, right? Just the fact that he was able to survive this beating over 15 minutes. I just don't know how many guys would have heard that final horn. And you're right, 2 years ago when he fought Tony Ferguson and was stopped in that second round, not to say he was looking for a way out that night, but maybe he wasn't as confident in his skills back then that if he can stay in the fight, get up, see a third round, who knows what would have happened. But I just was so impressed with Khabib Nurmagomedov coming in here and the way he just attacked the weight cut and everything that came with it. You know, I first talked to Tyler Minton in Winnipeg a couple weeks prior. He was there with Daniel Cormier, and he said Khabib then was just trending 10 pounds lighter, and on Tuesday he was at his normal Thursday weight. And we were thinking, you know, maybe this would lead to a scarier Khabib. I mean, do you feel like because he now seemingly has mastered that part of it that we can expect even better performances than we saw in, you know, Nurmagomedov version one in that previous part of his UFC tenure?
I think so for two reasons. I think so because, first of all, he's cutting the weight much better. He used to do it on his own. Now he has a professional in Tyler Minton who's helping him out, doing it the proper way. So he's walking around a lot lighter. He's in a better mood. Physically, energetically, he's able to do more during the fight.
Yeah.
It looked like he went through a stroll in that fight at UFC 219.
Right.
I mean, he was not tired at the least. And here's a guy who was trying to take him down every single second of the fight, pressuring him every single second of the fight. So he wasn't just out there and floating around and dancing. He was moving and doing something every second of the fight, and he looked like it was nothing. It was a walk in the park. And number two, he had something to prove. Right. I mean, he's been getting criticism from him being injured all the time, or supposedly being injured all the time, to a guy who can't make weight. And so I think he had that chip on his shoulder and he wanted to make an example out of Edson Barboza and show everybody just how damn good he is.
So, Kenny, Joe Silva tried on several occasions to book this fight between Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson. He was obsessed with that fight. I remember after Tony Ferguson beat Edson Barboza, we were in a van together going back to the host hotel. It was 2 years ago, December 2015. He gets on the van, and of course, me, total reaction in the moment. Tony had just won $100,000 in bonus money. I'm like, you got to give Ferguson a title shot, Joe, right? And he's like, dude, A, you're not a matchmaker. B, I'm making this fight between Khabib and Tony Ferguson if it's the last thing I do. And Joe sits around probably watching this pay-per-view thinking about this fight that still hasn't happened. I mean, Kenny, is that not the dream mixed martial arts fans fight right there at 155 pounds between those two monsters?
Well, there's two things that Tony Ferguson has that can compete with Khabib Nurmagomedov, and that's his heart and that's his conditioning. And I would love to see it go for five rounds, because the only way see Khabib maybe getting a little bit frazzled out there, or maybe getting a little bit tired or showing some kind of weakness, is within five rounds. I'm hesitant to even say that, but that's the only way I see it happening. Three rounds is not going to be enough for you to take out someone like Khabib Nurmagomedov. So just that alone makes it very interesting. Also, the fact that these guys were supposed to fight three times before.
Right.
So, yeah, this is absolutely a fight I want to see. I don't know if we're going to see it. I mean, is Tony going to fight Connor? I imagine that's going to be the fight that Connor takes next. I don't know. You know, he keeps making references to, like, he needs to get paid and people need to beg for him and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think he wants a dance partner that's going to help hype up this fight a little bit more and have the UFC pay him enough money to where it becomes worth his while. This is a guy who's got, you know, $100 million in the bank. He can live off of his interest for the rest of his life and his kids' lives and their kids' lives probably. So,
He should be on that Bitcoin train like Ken Flo ahead of the rest of us intellectually all the time. So who is the lightweight best equipped to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov? Is it someone like Conor McGregor who has that left hand? Is it Tony Ferguson? Pistol to your temple or to save a dog's life? Which lightweight are you sending to make that walk to beat Khabib? And I'll give you about 30 seconds as I expand on this. Dustin Poirier was on these airwaves a few weeks ago, Kenny, and we asked him, who's the toughest fight for you at 55? Khabib Nurmagomedov. That is the answer from most of these other lightweights when you ask them. So you're trying to rescue a dog here, Kenny. You've rescued a lot of dogs in your life. Rescue another one. Tell me the lightweight best equipped to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov.
No one wants to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. I think the one guy who could possibly do it right now at 55 is Conor. But I don't know, man. Here's the thing. You need to be heavy-handed. You need to be accurate with your strikes. I don't think Khabib, the way that he shoots in for takedowns, he doesn't really shoot in for those low-level leg attacks where he's going for a single or a double necessarily. He gets to the clinch, and that's a safer way to get into the clinch, right? It's a safer way to take your opponent down. He's got the skills with his takedowns, with his sambo background, with his wrestling background to put you on your ass from that clinch position. Very few people know how to do it as well or as efficiently as Khabib Nurmagomedov. I don't think Conor can stop the takedown. If he can catch him coming in, if there's one guy that could possibly rock him and catch him coming in with his hands, it is Conor McGregor. I think when you talk about his hand speed, his ability to find angles, his ability to land a shot that you don't see coming, it is Conor. Do I see Conor beating him at this point? No. I just don't. I don't think he can keep him off of, man. I really don't. I think there's very few people right now that can do it. You have to have amazing wrestling. You maybe have to put him on his back. You have to be able to circle away from the cage repeatedly and move your feet for 25 hard minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know if there's a lightweight alive that can stop him. You're going to have to be one hell of a wrestler and one hell of a boxer.
See, it's like giving you anxiety because you know the dog probably ain't getting rescued, you know, because they're probably not winning that fight against Khabib Nurmagomedov. So, and I even, you know, you can even reference that Abel Trujillo fight, which people do a lot, right? 4-year collegiate wrestler Trujillo. And I know, and we're talking about mixed martial arts application of wrestling and sambo, but took him down 21 times in a 3-round fight. You know, Sean Sherk had the previous record, who you fought 16. It was over in a 25-minute fight, you know?
Exactly. You know, and that's insane. You know, he shot 28 times. That's the kind of conditioning that he brings to the octagon. When he's just shooting 28. Of those 28, he hit 21 takedowns. And of those 21 takedowns, he hit against a guy who was an NAIA wrestling champ. A college champion, and Abel Trujillo took him down like he never wrestled a day in his life.
Right.
Scary.
So, and I think Nurmagomedov, not only does he already have one of the bigger fan bases in the sport, top 10, certainly on this roster, in my opinion. Carlos Condit, by the way, I think is in that mix just in terms of the fan base. Combination, casuals, avid fans, and he can be an absolute superstar, Kenny, if he competes a couple times a year. We've seen him three times since, you know, you and I were in our 30s, right? I mean, he hasn't fought a lot. So if we see him more often, I think he can just be a massive superstar and maybe even a big pay-per-view draw for the UFC. It'll be interesting to see the extent to which that fight between Nurmagomedov and Barboza pushed that pay-per-view needle for the UFC over the weekend. The headliner, though, Kenny, was Chris Cyborg in the first defense of her UFC featherweight championship fight. And I thought she answered a lot of questions tonight, going 5 hard minutes and having to cover a lot of distance in her own right, chasing down Holly Holm. I thought it was a clean performance. I thought she didn't force it. I thought she heeded the advice of her corner when they thought maybe the first 2 rounds were pretty close, even though I didn't necessarily. I just think this is another feather in the cap of Chris Cyborg and the type of signature win that her resume really was thirsty for.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, Cyborg showed those 3 P's that I talked about on Twitter, patience, pressure, and power. You know, she had that in spades. And you know, when you're trading against someone like Holly Holm, she was inviting that. And I thought Holly kind of made a mistake of maybe showing a little bit too much offense, and I know everyone's going to say, well, that's what she gets criticized for before, but she is a counter striker, and Cyborg was just very patient, waiting for those shots, backing her up repeatedly, and landing just the heavier blow time and time again. you know, if there was one possible criticism for Cyborg was saying, hey, listen, we haven't seen her really go into the 20-minute range before. You know, maybe she can get tired. Maybe Holly can gas her out. Was not the case. It looked like Cyborg was the fresher fighter. She is a very well-conditioned athlete. She made the weight without any problem, it seemed. Seemed to be in good spirits the whole time. And I thought it was a smart performance there from Cyborg as well.
Yeah, she looked like she could have fought for an hour, and we're going to get into it even deeper because now joining us on the guest line is one Ray Longo. Let's get to him.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in this fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute.
Starring Ray Longo.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
We had two listeners check into rehab because they didn't get a Ray Longo Minute on Christmas Day. It's true. They love the guy. And 2018 on the first day of the year begins with Raymond Peter Longo here live on the Anik and Florian Podcast. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year. Listen, I'm excited. We're coming out swinging in 2018.
Oh, that's good. Look at how good he looks today, Kenny.
He does.
Again, apologize to those who are not ingesting this with their eyes. He's wearing yellow, which dovetails very nicely with your complexion, Ray. So did you do anything last night? Ken Flo was drinking root beer floats. I was asleep at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
I didn't do much more than that. And I stayed home, and I got to bed a little late. But, uneventful as most of my New Year's are. But what counts is how eventful the day is after.
Yes.
That's right.
This is exciting.
I can barely fucking sit still. It's so exciting. You did listen into some of that conversation we were having about Chris Cyborg and Holly Holm. A couple of the judges saw this as a closer fight than Kenny and I did, 48-47 times two, and then a 49-46 in there. Did you see the pay-per-view over the weekend? And if so, any thoughts on Chris Cyborg's title defense?
Yeah, I did see it, and I'll tell you, I have nothing wrong with 48-47.
Okay.
I did think Holly Holm did a good job, and I think she could have did a better job, because there were times when, you know, she was moving to her right when she was kind of spinning her, that I thought she gave Cyborg a little trouble at times in the first two rounds, and I think that's where they're getting it from. But I thought Holly Holm did a good job, but I agree. I think the one takeaway with Cyborg I had was, for a person that's really used to finishing fights quick, she did show the patience, and like what Kenny said, she's very powerful, poised, and I thought that was a big takeaway. She didn't feel the pressure to go out there and make a mistake and try to end that fight early, but she did lump her up pretty good. But I thought it was a competitive fight. I really did. And I think the key was, you know, you didn't know if she was going to get tired in the later rounds, and maybe that would be something, but she did a great job with the pressure, and obviously she hits like a freight train, because she did lump her face up, pretty well, it looked like. So I thought it was a really entertaining fight. I enjoyed the fight.
Ray, I'd like to see her take on someone like a Megan Anderson next, but for me, I thought Holly Holm did enough to warrant a rematch possibly in the future. Do you think she did enough? Would you want to see that fight again?
I personally believe that Holly Holm could make just a couple of adjustments, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I think just with the movement alone, mm-hmm. I think she could win that fight. I really do. I think for some reason she abandoned it, and she started just going linear, running
yes.
in with a head exactly. up a little bit. But when she was turning her and hitting and moving and getting an angle, I thought she did a pretty good job. I could see that, you know, as really making for an intriguing rematch. Because there was a time in either the first or second round, I go, this could be a long night for Cyborg. And then slowly but surely, she started just running in, I think getting a little too frantic, like you said, for no reason. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I think the problem I'm having for a girl that has 18 boxing belts or championship belts, just not relaxed. I
yes.
mean, you've seen fighters that are champions, and they could stand in front of you and make you look stupid. I mean, so she's,
right.
for a person with that many fights, I still think she fights a little frantic. I'd like to see her, like you said, even though she might get criticized, a little more counterpunching and
yeah.
maybe keeping that fight on the outside and using her reach a little better. I thought she ran in, and that's where Cyborg was able to do a lot of the damage.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. You know, and I would like to see her just kind of fight that relaxed, composed way.
I mean, again,
you know, that
Kenny,
her experience would dictate.
With that many belts, it is crazy. She just seemed like, and I know it's her, kind of her thing, but I think she should have the experience to really move that, you know, because I don't know. I saw spurts of something that I thought would have given Cyborg fits, but she just didn't stick with it.
I agree with you, man. Now, one guy who probably a lot of people are waking up with nightmares about is Khabib Nurmagomedov. What do you think about his performance, man?
I'm sure no different than anybody else, man. I mean, I got to tell you, but I still think even with him, you know, and that was, I mean, Barboza is not an easy guy to deal with,
right.
And he just made that look easy. And I think this guy, his mindset is really what people should key in on, because he was walking through some of that stuff. He accepted the responsibility. He was going to get hit, but he wasn't going to take no for an answer, and he just got what he wanted, man. And when he gets you, his ground and pound is literally vicious. I mean, he lumped up Edson pretty good. And look, man, hats off to Barboza. I think most guys would have definitely have quit. They would have given up their back. They would have did something to get out of that fight, but man, that guy's a tough son of a bitch, man. He stayed in there under the shittiest of circumstances. And it's, you know, like, again, hats off to him. But the other guy's just he's a killer at this point. I mean, if you can't deal with the wrestling that guy brings, you're just in for it's just a nightmare.
And he's made a lot of improvements, too, when it comes to his striking game. A lot of those weren't going to be showcased in a matchup like this. But he said to me when I spoke with him last week that, you know, to defend a kicking game like Barboza's, you need to figure out offensively what you're doing, too. And he feels like his kicking game over the last 6 months with Barboza on his radar is on a different level than it was. But, you know, you got a guy in Weidman, Ray, who prides himself on his ground and pound. I mean, have you ever seen a guy on the ground under 185 pounds strike like this kid? It's insane.
No, he's on a whole nother level. And again, I mean, I think it's a great roadmap for guys like Weidman, because I really believe Chris could do the same thing, just like Cain Velasquez does. I mean, and I think, again, Velasquez, you got to give it up to him. The guy's 240 pounds, and he can keep a crazy pace.
Yeah.
And when he's on, he's another guy. He's just hard to beat. And I think, you know, Velasquez's stand-up is much better than Khabib's, what we've seen. And, you know, I'd like to see Chris really adapt that mindset and just go after it, because he's, you know, he will get you down, and then it comes down to controlling it and keeping it on the floor. And it, you know, like, again, I think we have to give it up to Edson. He did get up a couple of times where nobody's really been able to do that. So, I don't know. That was a phenomenal performance by Khabib. I mean, it really, it should be him and Ferguson, I think, you know.
Yeah. That's the fight.
The other guy should just relinquish the belt, or Dana's got to step in and go, hey, you got till March 1st to defend this, or that's over. But he's not, I think Khabib walks right over him. I don't think that's even a fight, to be honest with you. And, you know, Khabib Ferguson is really the only intriguing matchup right now to make, and that's the fight. I'm sure that's going to happen, but, you know, I think the other guy should just relinquish the title at this point.
Yeah. All right, last thing, unless you got anything for us on the way out. If you had to pick a fighter at 155 pounds to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov, Kenny sort of felt like it would be Conor McGregor forced to choose, although he didn't really love his options. I mean, who is the guy best equipped at 55 to actually give this guy a competitive fight? Is it Tony?
It doesn't sound like you think it is. I think Ferguson. I think look, I'd really have to you know, I just don't think Conor's got nowhere near the ground game to deal with this guy. And once he gets you down, I think Ferguson might be a little trickier off his back. And that would be interesting if he could, you know, somehow negate some of the ground and pound. But I think that's what makes that fight interesting. And Ferguson looks like he's got a decent gas tank. I mean, Conor just doesn't have the gas tank to deal with this guy. That's the other thing. He really, you know, he hasn't shown that in a 5-round fight where he's, you know, he has periods where he takes a little break and he has come back, but his conditioning is nowhere near this guy. I do believe this guy could afford another time that night, just give him a little break. I mean, he looks like he trains hard. You know, look, he's not out there. Look, I love what he said about his family, kind of keeps that a little private. This guy's serious, man. He's all business. He doesn't give a shit right now about, you know, the Rolls Royces and the stupidity and all of that shit. He's a fighter, and I really hope the UFC embraces him and gets behind him, because I think the guy speaks well. He stands for the right stuff. He's a great interview. He's got a great sense of humor if you ever see him, like, with DC.
Oh, yeah.
What's not to like about this
guy? He needs to come up with his own blender. Like, Vitamix needs to come in and do, like, the Nurmagomedov blender. Something like that. Yeah, the Dagestani blender.
Or a sledgehammer.
Yeah, exactly.
One or the other. He needs his own sledgehammer, I think. He just smashes everything. But, no, that was you got to be impressed with that performance. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I mean, he is a handful for anybody. But I think the, you know, look, here's the key. The key is going to be, who can keep that fight standing with him? And then I think he would be in a little trouble. You know what I mean? But that's going to be the key. Can you stop a takedown? Right. Can you keep it standing? Because, again, I think last night was the wrong time to look, but it didn't look like his striking was at the level of some of these guys.
Yeah, and that's his weakness. Absolutely. That's his weakness.
Obviously, he makes up for it in toughness, and I'm sure he's powerful when he's swinging, but he's definitely not a technical fighter yet that way. I haven't seen it. But, you know, when Barboza was tired, man, he did land some nice shots, but not like it was, you know, anything that's going to, you know, scare anybody. It's more the fact that if you get tired with this guy, you're screwed completely. And I'd like to see the Ferguson fight. I think that's a great matchup, and I think that's the one I'd like to see. I don't think Conor's got the endurance. He definitely has the punching power for the guy, but I don't know how he's, you know, this guy goes for a couple of takedowns and gasses him out, and his power is going to go down the drain too. So that's a tough matchup for Conor. I'd love to see it, but I don't think anybody thinks that's happening, do they?
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's a long shot. I think for the timeline too, I think Khabib's going to want to get in there first quarter 2018. And you gave me a great idea. I mean, how many Khabib hammers can we sell if it's a hammer with like his Papapa wig Papaka? The Papaka as like the handle, right? His wig as the handle, and it's a Khabib hammer.
Awesome.
No,
I don't know. I like it. But I mean, the other thing with Khabib too is, I think, you know, the only thing that could beat him now is his injuries. So he's got to really train smart, and he's got to stay healthy, because it looks like that's going to be his Achilles heel in the future.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. We have our awards show next week. I think you got that steamroll of Frivola Kid coming up in St. Louis, so we'll get into all of that stuff. And the only thing we need from you next week is your Male Fighter of the Year. Okay? That's
male
the only
fighter
award.
Of the
we got
year.
13 awards. We only need one out of you. Okay?
Male, I got it. I'm on it.
And again, right, Ray, I'm retired, so you can't pick me. So
yeah,
I just
right.
Remind
exactly.
You.
But you know you were my favorite.
See?
Though.
See?
Elbows from Hellbones is this guy. This guy could cut you. You just look at his elbow, your eye started bleeding. I never seen anything like that in my life. Seriously. All he had to do was raise his elbow. Your nose started bleeding. Your eye was gushing. It's like a superhero, this guy.
It's amazing.
I can't think this guy.
He's always making me laugh.
I can't believe we didn't bring you into the ground and pound conversation. See? I mean, he's got like elbows are on his Wikipedia page. He's so famous for it.
Yeah, I
got
to go look at that. Yeah.
Very good.
All right, we'll let you go to get to the Wikipedia page of Ken Flo. And we're going to bounce this Khabib hammer idea around further offline. But
who was the little the Greek guy? I think you fought him. Remember him?
Carolexis.
He's on the show too. Nice.
Carolexis. Alex Carolexis.
Oh yeah, how's
yes.
he doing?
He's doing good. He's doing working for a charity right now in Arizona. He actually builds homes for veterans. It's pretty amazing.
Nice
kid,
man.
Oh yeah, it's pretty awesome.
He's got about 85 stitches over his right eye thanks to you.
he reminds me about that. It was his nose. Oh, awful. Yes. Thank you.
All right, guys, listen.
Have a great night, bud.
Have a great 2018.
Happy New Year, brother.
All right, happy New Year, guys.
There he is, the great Ray Longo, every week here on the Anakin Florian Podcast. And support for the Anakin Florian Podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button, and in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/annick, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and mlsconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. So quickly to put a bow on the Cyborg Holly Holm stuff, Ken Flo. So Holly Holm, 33-2-3 as a pro boxer. All right, we do have the UFC featherweight champion on the line, so I'm going to table that thought right now. I know. This is my New Year's surprise for you. New Year's Day, no less. This guy's breaking away for us. Arguably the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world right now. UFC featherweight champion, YNI Hawaii's Max Holloway is with us. Max, happy New Year, man. Thank you for the time today.
No, happy New Year to you guys. Thanks for having me.
So I'd imagine the last few weeks since the win over Jose Aldo have been pretty nice for you, celebrating Christmas with the family. I mean, were you able to take a little bit of time off? I know you're a workhorse.
Yeah, you know, our gym recently, we actually closed the gym for a week, and we never did it for 5 years straight, for the last 5 years. So it was closed, and I was enjoying, man. Now it's I got one more thing. My son's birthday is next week. We're doing a little vacay again, and then I got to get my fat butt back down to fighting weight and get back in the gym.
So next week we're going to do our awards show here on the show. It seems like you're already stacking up a lot of these Fighter of the Year awards for 2017 from a lot of different media outlets. Ken Flo actually went on national television last week and gave you his nod on UFC Tonight. I mean, it's about time Kenny Florian used his television platform
to give him some love. Respect.
Yeah, I told Kenny, man, if he didn't pick me, I'd have to bring him out of retirement to make this guy believe it, man. I don't know what it's going to take to get Ken Flo's pick, but besides that, over Twitter, a little Twitter beef hashed it out. But it's good, man. It's good fun, man. Thanks just for the love of it. It's just a lot of hard work, man. A lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, and the world's finally figuring it out.
Max, the best part about being retired is you got to kick someone else's ass to prove a point to me. You didn't have to beat me up to prove a point. Right?
Yeah, man, boss.
Oh, man. So listen, Max, how has life changed for you since you become the champ, man?
Just like anything else, man. You know, it's a lot more media. You're in the limelight a little bit more. A lot more picture taking, a lot more autographs, you know. That's all that add to me, you know. Better pay days, and that's about it, you know. It's still got to keep the hard work, you know. People get comfortable when they hit this this pinnacle of their career, but I'm just getting started, you know. A lot of people are saying certain guys is the future of my division and this and that, and I think so. Everybody's forgetting I'm 26. I want to be here for a long time, and I'm going to prove it.
You know, Max, they asked me the other day for a bold prediction for 2018, and I said that you would fight Conor McGregor. Now, is there any talk about that? Has anyone reached out to you or maybe proposed that idea to you?
Yeah, you know, the UFC actually, before we had the contract issue, before my last fight, before we fought Frankie, we was going back and forth with contracts and stuff, and They bring up Conor in it at 55, and we see it happen. Yes, between me and him, it happened so long time ago. You know, if that guy wants to hold that win over my head, it is what it is. You know, but at the end of the day, if we don't end up fighting, it'd be on their side. You know, they know who's the best in the world, and like I said before, I told you that all the time. You know, if you want to fight the best, come fight blessed. So if that guy's if he's back, if he want to come back after enjoying, you know, that guy's enjoying life right now, you know, and there's no reason to be chasing somebody who doesn't want to fight you, you know. So I'm here, I'm waiting, you know. We got contenders on the rise, and I think it's time for the future. If we run down back, it'll be fun. If not, you know, it's life.
Yeah.
All right, Max Holloway with us here on the Anakin Florian podcast. Now, you have really been at the forefront of this UFC to Hawaii conversation and the initiative for a long time. I mean, I remember when you first cracked a mic after one of these fights talking about UFC to Hawaii. And good news last week, man, UFC President Dana White saying the company is now actively working on it. And without you accomplishing what you have in the octagon, the company's not working on that going into 2018. I mean, do you recognize that? And if so, how satisfying is it for you to know that in some part your work inside the octagon has opened up this discussion?
It's amazing. And so you said, you know, Dana, I saw after my last fight, you know, Dana is always worried about doing stadiums or outdoor events. And he keeps saying it rains every 10 minutes over here. He said he's talking about Maui or something. We haven't really rained that much. I have an idea. So Dana said, let's do that at my high school stadium. Over here, it's dry as can be and hot all the time on the west side. So
yeah,
you don't have to worry about why not raining. But in all jokes aside, after the last fight, I told him, come on, UFC Hawaii. And he told me, you know what, kid, I might just think about it. I might have to suck it up and, you know, face my fears and do one. So I think he did it at the presser. So it's exciting, you know, it's exciting. I hope the Hawaiian tourism agency over here listen to what they have to say. And I think so it'd be not only great for Hawaii, not only great for UFC, but great for Hawaii, you know, the tourism and all that stuff. So it'd be a win-win all around, I think.
I know you can sell out Aloha Stadium. They just got to give you the opportunity. Hopefully they do. But I would imagine your timeline for fighting is going to be before the Hawaii thing is done and this potential fight against Frankie Edgar. In a perfect world, is it like April, May for you? When do you want to come back?
You know, we see what happens. You know, we see what happens. The June and December that I did the last 2 years was great. You know, I had time to relax, focus on some injuries, rehab some stuff, and get back into hard training camp. My body's been feeling great doing that. You know, last fight, my body felt great. I didn't take too much damage as I did with him the first time against Aldo. So it was great. You know, we'll see what happens. I'm just waiting. You know, whatever UFC want to do, I'm here waiting. I want to fight. And, you know, to prove that you're the best, you got to stay active. You know, like I said, we're finally bringing back stability to this division. And a lot of new contenders is on the come up. So it's exciting times. So featherweight. And even 55, I want to defend my crown and this and that, but people keep saying they want to come down to 45 and fight at my weight class. You know, you guys just hold on. Just hold on. Yeah. Stay at you guys' weight. I don't want no excuses when you guys come down here and be like, oh, 10 extra, I'm losing pounds. I'll gain 10 pounds easy for you guys, and I'll prove you guys why I'm the best.
Right. No, and I think if you do fight Conor McGregor, he's not coming down to 145 pounds to fight you. And I know you've said you're going to fight in multiple divisions before your career is over. I think because you make the weight cut look easy and you don't complain about it and you smile on the scale, people maybe don't talk about you at 55 or 70. But I think a lot of us are excited to see those matchups for you in the not too distant future, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, like you said, 170, you know, another question too. You know, a lot of... You know, I'm not going to tell you the weight I am. That's a secret. You know, I'm just going to tell them
right,
the truth.
Right.
I'm sure you guys get church. But you know, UFC be emailing me, telling me, you know, we have, you know, we see a weight recently, and we have the UFC PI nutritionist for here. I got the best nutritionist in the building, in the business. His name is Tyler Mitten, and I'm fine right. with him. You know, he does the job right, and it shows every time I go out there and fight.
Hey, how about Yancy Medeiros getting a main event, huh?
Oh, Yancy Medeiros is a beast, man. Him and Cowboy's going to be crazy. And you guys see him, I don't know what it is. This guy's going for another Cowboy. It's fun. I'm excited, man. And when he go out there and do his thing, you know, I think there's going to be another step towards UFC Hawaii. So I'm excited, man. He's trying to get him the respect he deserves. And, man, that if he doesn't win for a year, I don't know what's going on in people's minds.
All right, last thing. What does your son think of all of this? I mean, does he even remember when you weren't champion at this point? What does he think of everything that has happened over the last year and a half?
Oh, man, he's He's living some life more than me. I think he's more famous than me. That's the same with the David.
Of course.
The Dab Master, oh my gosh, it's so funny. People are tweeting me saying that he wasn't the same without having him his last fight.
We need him to push pay-per-views for
us. He's loving it, man. You know, he understands. He loves video games, and he does jiu-jitsu, so he understands awesome. The sport. He understands, you know, sports period of winning and losing and being a champion. So it's awesome, man. He's living life, and I'm great that I can support the guy.
His dad has won 12 fights in a row, folks. UFC featherweight champion, 2017 Fighter of the Year here on the Anik and Florian podcast. Max Holloway, congrats on everything, man. Appreciate the time today. Happy New Year, and we look forward to seeing you, I guess, in June, if not sooner, man. All the best.
Thank you, guys, man. You guys have a good one. Aloha.
Congrats, man. Happy New Year.
Thank you, brother.
All right, there he is, Max Holloway, with us on the Anik and Florian podcast. So when I asked him a couple weeks ago before the Aldo fight about his future at lightweight and welterweight, he said, I'm a fight at 185 pounds. So Max Holloway, I think at this point, is probably going to retire as the UFC's all-time leader in wins and appearances, right? I mean, if he can add longevity to everything else that has been a successful part of his career, right? Stefan Struve used to say, oh, I'm going to be the first to get to 50 UFC appearances. Donald Cerrone was on a tear. You're thinking this guy's going to retire as the all-time UFC wins leader. Then all of a sudden you get finished a couple times and that conversation changes a little bit. I think because Max Holloway has started at 45 and can finish potentially at 70, that he is going to be just littered across the UFC record books when he is done. And, of course, here on New Year's Day in the middle of the Hawaiian afternoon, we appreciate the UFC featherweight champ giving us a few minutes. I was just saying on Holly Holm, Kenny, 33-2-3 as a pro boxer, multiple world titles at 140 pounds, 147, and 154, right? But only five times did she make the walk in boxing and not win. And she's now lost four of her last five. And it's very interesting for me to hear you and Ray break down this performance by Holly Holm, because there was a lot of good in it.
Yes.
Physically in the clinch, she showed things against Chris Cyborg, even if it was a stall tactic, right? She was able to reverse Cyborg a couple times and at least give Chris some things to think about. But I guess I'm not at the front of the line necessarily for the rematch, even though this has been the most competitive fight recently we have seen Chris Cyborg in. Because I don't know, I guess I have to watch it back, and I hope my call wasn't too one-sided if the fight was closer than maybe I thought it was. But I just didn't feel like there was anything appreciable in terms of the sustained damage going from, you know, home to Chris at all.
Yeah, and that's why I was a little surprised. You know, Tyron Woodley was watching the fight, and he said, you know, this is a closer fight than a lot of people think. I think, you know, I have Holly winning two rounds. I thought she won the first round, and that was it. I thought Cyborg won rounds two through five. However, whatever it is, I thought that, yeah, absolutely, Holly could have fought a better fight. As close as that fight was, I thought she could have found a little bit better angles. I thought she could have countered a lot better. But more than anything else, and this is what kind of you're alluding to, you talk about her boxing record. She has experience in kickboxing now, is, you know, a ton of experience in fighting in big fights in the UFC. But I have yet to see her calm and composed in a UFC fight. Mm-hmm. And I think that when she starts to really see the octagon as her home, as her place where she can go out there and just kind of have fun and be creative and be the great martial artist that she is, I think a lot of those people that beat her, a lot of those close fights, I think Hollywood would win a lot of those fights. I really do. I think that we haven't seen the best Holly Holm yet. Regardless of all of her great performances, I still think that she still hasn't shown that kind of mastery level where when a person walks into their domain, they own it. They own that space, and she hasn't owned that space. And I think that even when she beat Betch Gohea, she knocked her out. You see, like, all that tension, she kind of just lets it go, and she's, you know, it seems like there's just a lot of,
like,
pressure
thank God,
on her.
Can I go home?
Yeah,
now,
yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if you ever got anxiety for training sessions. I mean, you and I have talked a lot about broadcast television and how some of the nerves we had early on, we wish maybe we could get them back because it might be a performance enhancer. Yeah. did you ever have anxiety for maybe some sparring sessions? But she every day she has anxiety, and then once she gets warming up at Jackson Wink, it goes away. You know, I think there's some benefit to that, but I just – you're right, man. Very, very tense individual in a lot of respects.
Yeah, no, and you could see it. You know, it's very apparent, and obviously it's worked for her. She has succeeded at a very high level despite that. But I think that would be the next level to kind of – or that would be the next thing to take her to the next level would be to kind of – find a way to shed that pressure, to shed that tension, because she really is such a talented human being that I feel like we have yet to see the best Holly Holm in the octagon. But with that said, she is fighting amazing fighters. I mean, she is fighting,
of course,
an amazing fighter in Cyborg. Cyborg is extremely good, but I think that Holly showed that she could be able to win that fight. It would not be easy, but she has the skills and she has the capabilities to perhaps win that fight. But Cyborg, that's what makes her such a special fighter. That's what makes her so dominant. Just an amazing performance.
All right, we'll see who's next for Chris Cyborg. Maybe it will be Megan Anderson, the natural featherweight. Maybe it'll be Amanda Nunes. I know Cyborg, in a perfect world, wouldn't fight a fellow Brazilian, but she's going to fight whoever signs on the dotted line, and Amanda Nunes has expressed some interest. I want to bang through a couple of these other winners at UFC 219. Nice win for Dan Hooker against Mark Jacasey. You know, here's a guy in Dan Hooker now fighting in his natural weight class, 155 pounds. He has never been finished in the UFC. He has never been knocked out as a pro, and I think we haven't necessarily seen just how good he can be because he spent the bulk of his career at featherweight. So congrats to Dan Hooker. I'd like to spend some time on Carla Esparza, though, if we could, because you and I sort of disagreed. And again, our scorecards, right? You're working the desk. You got a lot of different things going on. I'm calling the fight, so you might as well toss my scorecard out. But once the fight's over, I asked the truck to tell me who wins the fight. I thought they were going to tell me Carla Esparza. She did win by unanimous decision and hand Cynthia Calvillo her first pro loss. Your thoughts on this fight at 115 pounds and what the win means now for the former champion Carla Esparza?
Well, there was no doubt that the fight was close, right? I thought they were going to give it to Calvillo, but I have no problem with it going to Carla Esparza. I thought she, you know, in that third round, she was the one who was kind of looking for the takedown, wasn't always successful with it, or didn't do much with it, but she was moving forward. So I totally get that. Listen, it was an awesome round for Calvillo, a possible 10-8 had it not been for that close armbar from Esparza and that reversal at the very end to get on top. Could have been a 10-8 for her. Either way, I think after that, Calvillo kind of went into cruise control a little bit. Now, this is what, her seventh fight on her UFC record, so still doesn't have a whole lot of experience.
Seventh pro fight, fourth UFC fight.
Right. So this is going to be one of those, she goes back and she's going to watch it and she's going to be a little disappointed with what she did. Not because, she lost a fight, but because she probably should have done more during those second and third rounds. She was giving up takedowns, wasn't able to score on the feet like she wanted to, a little bit hesitant, and maybe shut down her offense a little bit because Carla was shooting in a lot. So a big credit to Esparza and her experience to switch things up and to keep Cynthia Calvillo guessing. Calvillo is going to be a fantastic fighter. I think she's going to learn from this. This is going to be one of those experiences where that propels her forward. I think she's got the right attitude to work harder and kind of work on those things, especially in regards to the wrestling and maybe her striking a little bit. But it was a close fight, man. So I you really can't complain about a fight like that. A fight that really could have gone either way.
And this is far and away, for me, the most interesting women's division in the UFC, 115 pounds. Of course, they're all chasing Rose Namajunas right now. Carla Esparza has a win over Namajunas. And you have a big fight coming up with Tisha Torres and Jessica Andrade. Perhaps Carla Esparza gets the loser of that fight. I think the winner's probably getting a title fight. But Joanna Jędrzejczyk's probably going to fight for the belt in her next fight. You got Claudia Gadelha, who could be a possibility for Esparza. Karolina Kowalkiewicz might have a fight on the books, but it's going to come out of one of those names you just heard next for Esparza. And for Calvillo, I think watching this tape and learning from these 15 minutes, to your point, is going to be very beneficial. I just don't like when fighters are, and I love Calvillo, like batshit crazy, infectious personality, absolutely love her. I don't love when fighters feel like they have a decision in the can in a close fight. It happened recently, Courtney Casey against Felice Herrig. These fighters act totally shocked by the scorecards. And I think when she goes back and watches it, she'll probably have a different opinion on that. Neil Magny defeats Carlos Condit unanimously, 30-27 times two and a 29-28 there. Inevitably, we're going to spend more time talking about Carlos Condit probably, Kenny, but what else can you say about Neil Magny? Tied with Donald Cerrone for the most UFC wins since 2013. Neil Magny has won 13 UFC fights. The sports books were exposed on Neil Magny. I thought maybe bettors would look at Carlos Condit in that minus 150 range despite the layoff and think there was some value there. Magny cashes again, Ken Flo, for the eighth time as a fucking betting underdog in the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
It's amazing. And this is a classic Neil Magny performance, right? He goes in, he does the work quietly, he collects his check, and then he's out, and no one's really talking about him again. You know, he's just going to go right back to work. He's probably training right now as we speak. He's just one of those likable guys who puts in the work day in and day out and goes out and doesn't talk about it, just goes out there and proves people wrong time and time again. So really love the guy and want to congratulate him on another amazing performance. I'll never forget his fight against Hector Lombard and then talking to him after that amazing comeback win. And he was so humble about it. Like, it wasn't really a big deal. And he was just lucky to kind of get the win. And it was very authentic. He was very real. He wasn't kind of putting that on just for a show to act like he's humble. He really is the real deal. So, Neil Magny's awesome, man. But for Carlos Condit, I saw a couple things that concerned me. Because this wasn't the typical Carlos Condit that we're all used to seeing. Carlos Condit has been one of my favorite fighters for a very, very long time. He was not the natural born killer on Saturday night. He was kind of looking for shots, and he was very hesitant to get in the mix and stay in the pocket, something that he does very well, and just couldn't get off in those combinations. And, you know, I think that it has more to do with – it's two things. Either he was not given a plan to go out there, or maybe wasn't working on certain tactics during the fight that he should have, or number two – maybe he's getting a little bit gun-shy now. You know, maybe he's getting a little bit gun-shy as a fighter because he has had a lot of fights. I think he just had his second child, all that stuff. You know, that was his, like, what, 41st or 42nd fight of his career. And I hate to see those kind of things. I hope that's not the case. I hope this was just either a flat night or whatever because Carlos is I felt that as good as Neil Magny is, Carlos didn't show us his true capabilities.
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of that for sure. Just one win, Kenny, since 2013 for Carlos Condit. Certainly 2 years ago was very close to beating Robbie Lawler for that undisputed UFC welterweight title, but a pro dating to 2002, to your point, 41st pro fight, mixed in some pro kickboxing there as well. And I hate to sit here as a non-fighter and just in general sort of a soft athlete in my life and say that a guy's heart is not in it, but it just didn't seem to be the same Carlos Condit. Some people will chalk it up to rust and the layoff. I know you and Jimmy Smith got into that conversation a little bit, but obviously you and I saw what he did against Thiago Alves after a 14-month layoff, and that was a layoff that had an ACL reconstruction as a part of it, right? So I just felt like he got away from the fight game, and I don't know, man. I just feel like I think his next performance will certainly be better. I certainly don't think this is the way that a type of fighter like Carlos Condit goes out. I think to a fighter, he's the most popular guy on the roster, right? But in terms of you guys who you guys respect and whose T-shirts you guys buy, it's Carlos Condit. I don't know that he's going to want to go out like this, Flo.
And that's the thing. And you wouldn't be off base in saying that because obviously we heard about what he said after the Robbie Lawler fight that maybe he wasn't going to fight again. And then again, you know, after he fought Damian Maia, you know, he really stayed quiet. We weren't sure if he was going to come back after that one either.
Right.
And then he said, you know, I kind of got back into training and I felt good, so I decided to go out there and fight. Okay, technically, okay, your body's doing the right things, all that stuff. How do you feel up here? Do you want to fight up here? Is it in you still? And that's the big problem for a lot of fighters is sometimes the body speaks before the brain or the brain speaks before the body, and you have to find that balance on Is it time for you to give up what you've been doing for a very long time? It's tough. It's a really hard thing, man. It's a really hard thing. But one thing that can't be denied, that was not the Carlos Condit that we're used to seeing. Even in losing, you know, that's not the Carlos Condit that we're used to seeing, right? I mean, Carlos, right. Even in losing, like that fight against Robbie Lawler was ridiculous. Could have gone either way. Robbie fought his ass off. So it's tough, man. And listen, there is a number. There is a certain number that every fighter has, and everyone's different. Some guys, you know, three fights, that's what you have, and that's it. That's all you're going to give us. Some guys can go up to 50, 60 fights. Those are super special, unusual individuals that have 60 hard fights in them. But everybody has a number that I believe is God-given, and maybe that number's up. Who knows?
Yeah, interesting. Well put. And I could just see Neil Magny, right? I think his show money is $70K. Can you see him just going to accounting? Excuse me, sir. This check is for $70,000. It actually should be for $140,000 American dollars. I beat Carlos Condit tonight, so if you could just double that would be great.
Oh, man, that's got to feel good, yeah.
And how about, too, right, that Neil Magny made $140,000 Saturday night, right? You know, and you and I, obviously, we could sit here and scream and advocate for fighter pay. We've had a million conversations about it off the air. We'd all love to see the fighters get paid more and do well, but Neil Magny made $140,000 Saturday night. And go ahead,
ask what some of the undercard boxers are making.
Yeah,
take a look at those like $2,500 paydays. I mean, it's Anyways,
yeah.
But good for Magny. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to shout out a few prelim names here, and you tell me who you want to talk about. But before we get to those FS1 prelims, the lone fight on Fight Pass, Kenny, Anaconda choke victory for Tim Elliott, and this was an emotional moment for Tim. Obviously, if you listened to our show 2 weeks ago, the MMA community lost an absolute giant, one of the true great head coaches, Hall of Famer in my mind, Robert Follis. Tim Elliott bought a house in Las Vegas for $270,000 because Robert Follis was his head coach and he wanted to be around him more often, right? Moved from Missouri, which he had never done in his pro career before. He had bounced around a little bit, but moved to Vegas. And then, of course, this stuff goes down. And Tim, I know, felt like Kenny, once the fight started, he'd be okay with, when it came to the emotions without Robert Follis in his corner. And that's exactly what happened. Once the fight came on, Tim was able to focus. And how good do you feel that this guy leaves with a $50,000 bonus as well? It was almost like Follis was making sure we had a bunch of decisions the rest of the way to preserve Tim's bonus. So a devastating, really horrifying, sad, sad story with a little bit of an upturn to the frown with Tim Elliott's performance this weekend.
It was a fitting end. It was a fitting finish from Tim Elliott. And he did it against a dangerous guy and a pretty good Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt fighter. So awesome to see Tim Elliott get the win. And again, this was also a way he's going to grieve now. Okay. After this fight is when he's going to actually grieve and let it really soak in that his coach, his mentor, one of his best friends is gone. And I don't think he could move forward without fighting this fight. That's why I feel that maybe 60% of that was him being able to just move on, fight and move on, and be able to kind of grieve the loss of Robert Follis and everything he meant to him. And I tell you what, it's going to feel a heck of a lot better getting a fantastic win like that, a finish off of Saturday night. I wish Tim Elliott the best with that process. He will find a strength moving forward from this. Tim Elliott has been one of the nicest guys that I've met. He's been over to Fox Studios and a huge guy for 125 pounds, by the way. Just really happy for him, and I wish him the best in the future.
Yeah, started his weight cut for Demetrius Johnson back in the day at 162 pounds to get down to 25. But he is a great athlete and a motivated individual, and certainly did his coach the ultimate honor over the weekend by getting the finish and ultimately the bonus. And of course, we're naming our Corner Man of the Year award, the Robert Follis Corner Man of the Year award, and try to continue to keep his memory alive as best we can. And of course, Follis made sure every single one of those prelims on FS1 went the distance, Kenny. But anyone you want to talk about here, Michal Oleksijczyk, a winner over Khalil Roundtree Jr. Miles Jury, man, I mean, when his head is right, I mean, this dude's a beast. 8-2 in the UFC, 2-1 at featherweight. Marvin Vettori defeats Omari Akhmedov. That might be Italy's best hope for UFC glory with respect to Alessio de Chirico. I think Vettori's the real deal. And then Matthews Nicolau, I think a dark horse at flyweight now that he's back with a win over Lewis Smolka. So Nicola Vettori, Jury Olukshajuk, who gets the love from the Flow here Monday morning.
Oh, Nicola, I thought he looked very sharp out there.
Yeah.
Awesome left hook, was moving really well, just seemed to be in a nice flow when he was fighting. And just seemed sharp all the way around. He seemed like an assassin in there. So I see a lot of good promise in that kid.
Okay, last thing. So next Monday, January 8th, third annual AFPA Awards. We just didn't come up with a better name, folks. They're the AFPAs. What are you going to do? So here are the
like
categories.
It's like a disease.
It really does.
I have
right?
AFPA. Yeah.
All right, categories, real quick. Team of the Year, UFC Rookie of the Year, Breakout Star, Best in Octagon Post-Fight Speech, the Robert Follis Corner Man of the Year Award, Must Be a Man. No, I'm just kidding. Of course it can be a woman. Actually, Danielle Nickerson, Platinum Princess, getting a lot of votes right now. So Upset of the Year, we're going to call it the Corner Man of the Year Award, right? They're still the Washington Redskins, I think, right? They are. All right, Upset of the Year, Knockout of the Year, Submission of the Year, Fight of the Year, the Adam Snacks Geller Male Fighter of the Year, the Inez Florian Female Fighter. No, I'm just kidding. no, it's just the Female
that's
Fighter
hilarious.
Of the Year. We're not putting your mom's name on it just
that's
yet.
Funny.
And last but certainly not least, Hottest Male Fighter, the Most Physically Attractive Male Fighter to you, Kenny. So
right. This
can just be the male fighter who is most physically appealing to you. It doesn't have to be like the hottest fighter on the roster. Like last year, right. You went with Luke Rockhold.
2 years in a row. I think he's the two-time winner, I think.
Yeah. I went with Tyron Woodley last year because I felt like if your wife's that hot, you must be doing something right in the looks department. So real quick, I'm going to go through some of our winners from 2016 just so I can shout them out. But if you want to nominate winners, didn't do formal nominations this year, at Anik Florian Pod on Twitter, at John_Anik, at Kenny Florian. If we're forgetting
some
submission.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like Alexio Linick is banging all over Ken Flo on Twitter because he goes on UFC Tonight and said that his Ezekiel choke was not the submission of the year. So Alexi's going to probably get some love next week.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can supplant Demetrius Johnson's suplex into arm lock necessarily.
Right.
But all right, so nominations at Anik Florian Pod. Real quickly, our 2016 winners, just because I thought it was interesting. Your team of the year last year was Team Alpha Male. I had Jackson Wink MMA. Last year, your corner man of the year was Matt Hume. I had Justin Buchholz. Your UFC Rookie of the Year was Lando Venata. Mine was Mickey Gall. Breakout Star of the Year, you had Cody Garbrandt. I had Stipe Miocic. Post-fight interview of the year, you had Nate Diaz. I had the assassin baby, Brandon Moreno. Dana, knockout of the year, you had Yoel Romero. I had Lando Venata. Submission of the year, you had Nate Diaz over Conor McGregor. I had Ben Rothwell over Josh Barnett. Fight of the year, you had Diaz McGregor 2. I had Swanson Choi. We went over most attractive male fighter. Yes, it's a category. Female fighter of the year, we both had Amanda Nunes. And the Snacks Geller fighter of the year, you had Cody Garbrandt. And I had Michael Bisping. So a lot has changed this year. You're getting all of our awards next week on the show. We also congratulate Casey Hinson. He wins our pick-to-click contest for the second straight year. Everyone who finished above 500, you're going to get something like a Ken Flo autographed card. You're getting something.
Also worth something.
They are. I have one in my drawer right now. You can't have that one, but we'll get you.
You just wait 20 years, man. That thing's going to be boom.
Telling you, through the roof, dude.
Lot.
It's like fucking Bitcoin. Buy that shit now. So in terms of the pick to click, we're not bringing it back for 2018. We're going to think of a new concept to get the listeners involved. Main Event Challenge will be back in a big way, of course, coming up next week with the St. Louis picks. Thank you to UFC featherweight champion Max Holloway. Thank you to Ray Longo, to Janko, Ben, Neil Foley, our whole team at Fox Sports. Appreciate you coming in for us on the holiday. Ken Flo, Happy New Year, kid.
Dude, Happy New Year to you as well, and to another amazing year of MMA, my man.
Is Meraki BJJ closed on New Year's Day or what?
We are closed. We're back open on the 3rd, kid.
I want to get in there and do some hip escapes. It's New Year's Day. Let me get in there.
Anytime. But I want to see you eat that, you know, that sandwich, Vegemite sandwich first. Then we'll get you
there. Australians, tell me how to ease my pain. I'm going to hold my nose, but I need other ideas. All right, we got to get out of here. Again, thanks to everybody for listening. We'll talk to everyone next Monday. AFPA Awards and preview and picks for UFC St. Louis. That'll be Jeremy Stevens versus Duho Choi Sunday, January 14th. Until then, for the Flow and all of us at Fox Sports, John Anik saying so long for now. Thank you all for listening. Yo, later.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.